reading from Hebrews. We're reading the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. If you'd like to read along with me. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise.
Good morning. So thankful you're here this morning. So thankful that you've decided to come to Center Chapel and worship God with us. We appreciate you. We encourage you to come back this evening at 5 p.m. for our second service. And we also want to acknowledge those who are in attendance via live stream. We want to say we appreciate you to take your time out of your day to attend services with us this morning. I want to quickly acknowledge the loss of Buddy. We had the visitation Friday. The funeral was yesterday. That's a big loss to us as a church family here at Center Chapel. And that one stings a little bit. That was a tough one to go through. Buddy was a wonderful asset to us here at this church. And I just wanted to say we appreciate everything that he and his family have done here. And we want to acknowledge the fact that the Dell will be going through a transition period, and so we want to make contact with her, let her know that we love her, and if she has anything that she needs, that she can reach out to us, and we'll help her. So just be thinking about them and acknowledge the fact that she's going through a big change in life, and she must not be neglected. All right. So we've been talking about, we've had different series. We've had Grace. We've covered themes such as love prior to that, and we're going to talk about hope. Now, last month, we talked about walking in the light, which, ironic enough, was actually a suggestion by Buddy Neal. He said he wanted to hear a series on walking in the light, and so that's one reason why we presented that. Now we're back to more of these singular word topical lessons. We've talked about love again. We've talked about grace. We'll probably get to faith sometime soon. Next month, we hope to unpack and discuss what peace is. And this month, we are going to thoroughly dive into hope. Hope is extremely important in the life of a Christian. Most of us have heard lessons on grace. We've heard lessons on faith. We've heard lessons on love. But if you think back, how often do you hear a lesson on hope? What is hope? Can we know what hope is? You know, believe it or not, there are a lot of people in today's world, perhaps maybe in our community, maybe in our church family, that are living in one of the saddest conditions in the human experience, which is to live without hope. But unfortunately, millions and millions of people are living without hope today. They have heavy burdens of this world that's placed on their shoulders. They have worries, they have anxieties, they have extreme concerns. They are tied to feelings of inadequacy, inability, chained to weaknesses and frustrations. But they don't have to live in this type of prison. There's freedom. Now, what can free us? Hope. Hope can free us from all the chains and the worries of this life. But it has to be true, genuine, biblical hope. And if you discover and you find what true, genuine, biblical hope is, then it will give you this new outlook on life. So our objective throughout this series and these studies, this morning and this evening, and through the rest of this month, and if you look at the bulletin articles, it has a theme of hope on it. So our objective is to try to understand hope better, to discover its importance, and to know that hope can be ours if we decide to have it. Do you want hope in your life? Do you want true, genuine hope? Your question may be, well, you know what, Brother Doug? I don't know exactly what hope is. Well, that's good. Because now if you listen up, we'll discover what biblical hope is. So what is hope? I'm a stranger. I meet you on the street. We've come in contact with one another. And I find out you're a Christian. You go to Center Chapel Church of Christ. And we're talking. And I notice there's something unique and distinct about you. And I ask you for a reason that the hope that is in you. Where do you get your hope? What is it? What would you say to that person if they asked you, what is hope? Let me give you what hope is not. What hope is not. Hope is not how we commonly express hope. It is not uncertainty. Hope is not uncertainty. Let me simplify this for you. What is hope? Hope is a bold belief. Now, there's other ways that people have given this explanation of what hope is. Some will say it's a confident expectation. Let's back up a little bit and let's dive into what hope is not. So usually when we express hope, it's in the context of uncertainty. You may say, I hope the mailman comes early today because I have things to do. Or you might just say, I hope the mailman comes on time. Well, what are you truly saying? What you're truly saying is you don't have any certainty that the mailman or mail person will show up at the time that they're supposed to show up. You have no guarantee, you have no promise, you have no certainty that the mail person is going to get there on time. And if it's a plumber or someone who's coming to work or do something in the house, you definitely have no certainty that they're going to get there. If it's the TV person coming to fix the cable box, they're going to be there from 8 to 5, and you're going to be there all day. And then they may call you at the end of the day and say, we're going to schedule you for tomorrow. You say, oh, no. No certainty. There's no promise. You may say, well, you know what? We're heading to a new location. We're going to our destination. I hope we arrive safely. And then you got Aunt Marjorie driving, and you don't have any guarantee that you're going to make it there safely. You have no certainty. There's nothing that you can hold on to that will give you the support that you know for a fact you're going to get there, that you have that guarantee, you have that certainty. So usually when we express hope, we express it in terms or descriptions that are uncertain. Friends, let me share this with you. That is not the remarkable description that the Bible paints about hope. That is not true, genuine, biblical hope. When you just say, I hope something, that's more in line with wishful thinking. And I'm not saying that wishful thinking can't come true, but wishful thinking gives you no guarantee. What is true biblical hope? It is a bold belief that something will occur. Let me give you another description, which you probably are more familiar with. A confident expectation for something good in the future. You're bold, you're confident, you have this belief, you have this guarantee, you have this promise that you know something good is going to happen in the future. Tomorrow looks brighter and brighter, and you know that it will come true. You have a guarantee. You have certainty. Wishful thinking is not certainty. Now, is that the kind of hope that you want to have? One that is guaranteed, that is promised, that is certain? You don't have to question it. You don't have to sit there and wonder, man, I just hope that that comes true. The biblical description of hope is a promise. It's a promise. And it's certain. In the context of Romans chapter 8, the biblical writer, he uses this phrasing. He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." You go back and you read Romans chapter 8, and you start at about verse 18, and you work your way through the remainder of that chapter, and guess what it's about? It's about hope. And he says, we know, we're sure, we're certain that all things work together for good. When? In the future. Why? Because God's promised it. I don't have to question it. I don't have to have the wishful thinking. I can know. And that's in the midst of Paul's suffering. Remember verse 18, Paul says, "For the suffering of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us." That's the future. And that's the hope that he's talking about. So if this is the kind of hope that we want to have, this bold belief, this confident expectation that in the future God will provide something better for us, if we want to have that kind of hope, the next question is obvious. How do we get that kind of hope? Turn your Bibles now to 1 Peter chapter 1. How do we obtain this hope? Where does it start? Where do the scriptures say it begins? 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that word for blessed is to speak well of God. Man, you are just so thrilled and excited about what God has done for you that you have nothing but praise and adoration for God. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." All you have to say is good things about God. Now, why would you have good things to say about him? "Who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So this hope that we have is alive. Now, this language, "he has begotten us again," is the same as the phrasing in John chapter 3, being born again. So in other words, what he's teaching us here is that this hope that we have that is alive is a direct outcome of the new birth. The new birth is the same that John 3 had mentioned. In other words, we are born again into a living hope. Not some lifeless creed, but a living, active hope. And Peter's going to continue this thought process, and he's going to say, but this hope must be maintained. It must remain active. It can't sit around twiddling its thumbs. It's active hope. Look down at verse 13 now. Look down at verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So this is to remain active. It's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. And Peter says, rest your hope fully. And other translations will say this: fix your hope completely on what? The return of Christ. A Christian's ultimate focus then is on the grace that will be ours when Jesus comes back. So what support, what foundation do we have to remain active until Jesus returns? Where do we get our guarantee of this? So I've given you all the descriptions of hope, but you still have nothing that's supporting it. There's no promise. There's no certainty. There's no guarantee tied with it. If you look up in the scriptures, you're going to find a lot of words that are associated with hope. 1 Corinthians 13 is a good example of a word association of hope. Love is associated with it. Other contexts will have grace associated with hope, and those are all wonderful terms that we've talked about in the past. But the one that I would like to concentrate now on is the term faith. Faith. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. So how can the writers in the New Testament tell us to fix our hope completely on this? So you go, well, I have no certainty. How do I know this is going to come true? And this is where we have our support. This is where we get our guarantee. Verses 1 through 3. And look at the nature of faith from this particular section of scriptures. It goes all the way through the remainder of the chapter into chapter 12, Jesus being the author and originator of our faith. But this is a wonderful chapter, and he's going to start out by saying in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Okay, so let's slow down and let's back up. Let's look at the beginning of verse 1 and the nature of faith. It is the substance of things hoped for. What does this word substance mean? It means, in essence, it is a foundation. It is a substructure. It is the basis for the whole Christian life. It is our support. It's what our hope rests upon. It's a firm foundation that cannot be moved, that cannot be shaken. It won't go away, and that's what gives us our certainty. Faith is the substance, it is the foundation, it is the thing that we can rely upon of the things hoped for. It's not a theory, it's not irrational. Who remembers that book that came out several years ago called The Secret? Anyone remember that? It was a book called The Secret. And this whole book, its objective was to give you a better future than what you had in your past. To give you a better type of living than the way that you might have been living. And part of The Secret was to have positive thinking. So if you want something, if you want this good, healthy future, then all you have to do is think positively, think specifically about something, and if you think about it long enough, then the universe will just lay it in your lap and it will give you this gift because you've thought about it enough, and that's the way that the universe originates. Now, when I asked if you've heard of that book, The Secret, no one raised their hand. This book sold millions and millions of copies. And if you don't know about it, that's a great thing. Don't read it. Because I actually did look into it, and it was a very popular book, and it had people moving into a type of new age movement or involvement or way of thinking that, you know what, I can control my destiny, I can control my future, and in essence, I don't need God or I don't need a deity. I don't need the Bible. I don't need the biblical description of hope. I can just have it myself. Well, let me tell you a secret about The Secret. That secret is a lie. It's not true. What it left people with is a bunch of wishful or blissful thoughts about a life that they'll never have, or a life that is misguided or misdirected. That type of secret provides no certainty of a better future. You have no guarantee. And what ended up happening to people that I knew growing up who read this book is it left them in a miserable, depressed state. Because what they had focused on and thought about and had multiple thoughts towards never came true. It never happened. Because The Secret, again, was a lie. It was a fabrication. It was make-believe. But what we have in the New Testament when it comes to hope is we have faith. It is that underlining bedrock of assurance on which hope is supported. Hope without faith is just merely self-deception. It's part of that secret that is not a secret anymore. But you have this basis for hope when you have true, genuine, biblical faith as well. So hope to be genuine, it must be built on faith. And it's based on things not seen. Let's read the rest of the text. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, what is the writer telling us here? When you look around at the universe, when you look around at our world here today, we know that it's here. It's in existence. It's undeniable. You can go out and you can touch these things and you can see them. Now, how did it come into existence? Well, the Bible's going to say God spoke it into existence. Now, did any of us see that? Can we see it? No. God's invisible word spoke everything into existence that we see and hear and live in. So the basis of our faith, the foundation, is going to be placed on the Word of God. So faith is based on God's Word, and it lays hold of the fact that the whole world was brought into existence by the invisible Word of God. So then faith is the foundation of what we hope for, based on God's promises, based on His Word. And if you continue reading down to verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to notice this. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which were seen were not made of the things which are visible, by the invisible Word of God. But what God is going to say in this complete context to the individuals is, He says, do you believe that I spoke this into existence? Do you believe this world was created by me, that I spoke it into existence? If you say yes, God's going to say, then you must believe I'm going to do it again. And that's your hope. And it says, not only am I going to do this again, but I'm going to do it better. A confident expectation for something better in the future. That's hope. That's biblical hope. Do you have that kind of hope? Do you have that kind of confident, bold belief that God's going to do something better in the future for you? We must keep this hope until the end. Lay hold of this hope. Grasp this hope. And don't let go of it until the end. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. The text that was so capably read for us. He's going to change tones a little bit in this section of Scripture. And he's going to kind of be more uplifting than he had been previously. And he's going to really come down hard on them and those Christians who are remain stagnant and who are still immature. He's going to change his language and his speech towards them. And he starts speaking more positively. And he says in verse 9, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, the things that accompany salvation. Though I speak to you in this rough manner. So he's speaking more positively to him here. Verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints, and you're still serving them. You're still ministering to them. And he says, but, or and, here's the conjunction. I want you to connect this. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to let go of the hope that you have. I want you to continue your earnest behavior of loving service towards one another until when? What's the aim? What's the goal? To the full assurance of hope. To the full assurance of hope, verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to win until the end. So have this same zeal in your service. Have this earnest behavior. Work hard to obtain the full assurance of this hope. Go hard at it. It says, then you'll have true biblical hope. This is not the hope that crosses its fingers. This is not the hope that bites its lip at a basketball game when the team is down 1 point and your son is at the free throw line shooting 2 free throws. That's not the kind of hope he's talking about. To the full assurance. You know what that means? When it comes to hope, you and I can have certainty. You can live with a hope that is alive and not dead, and be certain God will do something better for you in the future. I want you to notice next what he connects with hope. Guess what it is? Faith. He connects faith. Look at verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what? The promises, the certainty, the guarantee that God has given them. True hope is characterized by the certainty that what God has promised, He will give it to you. What He said He will do, it will happen. It will come true. True, genuine hope then puts forth great effort towards godly diligence. And we persevere in times of trouble. We persevere in times of difficulty. We persevere in times of distress. When the world gives up, when people let go of hope, when people become hopeless, Christians are that light giving people hope. So then someone can come to you and say, what is the reason for the hope that is in you? Let me tell you about the Bible's hope. Let me share with you the certainty and the guarantee that you can have. Does this describe the kind of hope that you have? Do you have this kind of hope that the Bible gives us? Can you honestly say that you have a bold belief, a confident expectation that one day you're going to go to heaven? You'll receive the inheritance. Do you have that kind of confidence in God? Is your hope alive? Is your hope dead? Is it built upon God's word, or is it just wishful thinking? If you recognize that you have this kind of deep need for the Bible's description of hope, please do not leave here without it. Do not leave here hopeless. Believe hopeful. Remember, it starts with the new birth. That's being baptized for the remission of sins. Some of you may have done that, but somewhere along the line, the world distracted you. It pulled you away. You became sluggish. You stopped imitating those who would inherit the promises that we see in the Bible. And you started to veer from the path. Maybe you need prayers. How can we make your hope alive again? Make it alive. Become hopeful. Your opportunity is here and now as we stand and we sing.